Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Today, Japan is on fire. Heat temperatures, nearly 40 people have died of the record-breaking heat in Japan. Meanwhile, right here in the United States, there are 18 active wildfires burning across California. Fast-moving and aggressive wildfires are scorching California, killing at least 8 people and destroying more than 1,000 homes and businesses. Thousands of firefighters are currently battling the flames of 18 active wildfires, which are threatening communities from Redding in Northern California to Riverside County in Southern California. Two new blazes, one near Mendocino National Forest and one near Yuba City, broke out Tuesday, the Associated Press reports. So the state's biggest wildfire, the Carr Fire in Redding, has burned through 112,888 acres in the past week. It was just 30% contained as of yesterday morning, this morning actually. More than 300 miles south, the 58,074-acre Ferguson Fire prompted Yosemite National Park officials to close the popular Yosemite Valley for the first time in 20 years during peak tourism season. And as these fires are burning, we have much of the East Coast under flood watch as wet stormy pattern threatens the region. According to a report, a wet pattern is taking shape across the eastern U.S. again. Numerous to widespread thunderstorms are expected as a frontal system from the west approaches and stalls over the region. There already has been flash flood warnings on Wednesday morning for parts of Virginia, including the Charlottesville area. Radar estimated that 3 to 6 inches of rain has fallen in parts of interior Virginia, causing flooding. Some roads were reported to be closed in Charlottesville overnight due to the flooding. So you look at your television screen today and you see these massive wildfires burning on the west coast of the United States, and then you have fronts coming from the west that are not putting out the fires, but are causing flooding on the east. Ladies and gentlemen, there are some weird, wacky weather patterns going on. It is August 1st, 2018. There is much to talk about today on the broadcast, and to help me do so is my dear friend, Daniel Seckham. He's calling in from Australia. Good morning, Brother Daniel. How are you today, sir?
Very well, Pastor Vincent. Not too bad. How are you going?
Well, I'm doing good. How are things going over in Australia? It seems that there's crazy weather, and I woke up to the news and in Los Angeles for the first time in 13 years, police had to actually shoot a man that was trying to saw a woman's head off. Crazy stuff going on this first day of August. So what's happening in your part of the world?
Well, in Australia, there's virtually no weather in the sense that we are experiencing our worst drought in over 20 years. And we have got farmers committing suicide, farmers who have had to shoot their livestock to put them out of their misery because they're starving to death. Things are really dire out here. And what's really angering a lot of the Australian population is the fact that our government has spent over $20 billion on foreign aid and has virtually given a token gesture of a couple of million dollars to help the farmers out. Just ridiculous.
Wow, that is ridiculous. Now, Daniel, let me ask you this. Was this famine already underway before Australia voted to legalize homosexual marriages?
No, it happened after.
Isn't that amazing?
Yep. I was thinking the exact same thing today. Yep.
So there you have a country that decides to offend God. And right after that decision, now you have farmers committing suicide, a famine because of drought in the land, and billions going out to foreign aid and just a little trickle to those that are in most needs in your own country. That
going
is
to the farmers.
Wow.
Yeah, it is. Wow. It really is. My country's under judgment. There's no doubt about that.
All right, let's speak into it. It seems like all over the world this is happening. August 1st, 2018. What is it that God has put in your heart to share with our listeners today?
Oh, gosh, where do I begin?
At the beginning.
I guess there's a fair bit that's it going on in my heart. Just been really seeking the Lord lately, and just seeking His direction on a lot of different things, and just praying for my country and praying for the United States. And you know, we are seeing more and more of just when you think that our society has reached peak crazy, they go up a whole new level. You know, the BBC have just ran a documentary praising transgender ideology and praising parents who are raising their children to be gender neutral. Can you imagine? I was going to say, not even 30 years ago, like maybe not even 20 years ago, if I were to tell you that this stuff would be going on, this kind of parenting would be championed and celebrated, you would never have believed it 20 years ago. But the nations have become so drunk, so completely gone mad that anything goes now. It's really quite sad. And why is all this happening? Well, the West has lost its identity. The West has lost its identity because for centuries, Western civilization was based in Christianity. And because the West is now trying to distance itself as far away from Christianity as it possibly can, it's having an identity crisis. And this is where the left comes in and basically celebrates all cultures, not just any culture, but all cultures. All cultures are equal. And this is why we are witnessing the chaos in our society that we are seeing right now. It's really sobering, but is it going to get even more madder? Oh, I would say, yeah. I would say that we haven't seen, we ain't seen nothing yet.
So you're saying that the BBC documentary is praising the transgender movement. Don't you wish that they would put a documentary about praising the Almighty God? I mean, what a better thing to praise than transgender movements.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the transgender phenomenon that we're witnessing now was really just a matter of time because it came in on the coattails of the gay rights movement. So they were just waiting in the wings, just waiting, you know, because they knew as soon as the nation accepted homosexuality, transgenderism was the next frontier. It was the next thing that, you know, if our society, if Western society could accept homosexuality, then it was just a matter of time before they could accept transgenderism. And this is where we are right now. And not just transgenderism, but I would even go and say that we're going to see more and more polyamorous relationships and polyamorous marriages where there's multiple partners. Because, you know, I mean, once you remove gender from marriage, who's to say that you can't remove number? Who's to say that you can't, you know? I mean, who's to say that it can only stay as two people? I mean, if you take such a fundamental thing out of marriage, such as gender between a man and a woman, then anything goes. I mean, number, inanimate objects, you name it, anything goes. I mean, this is just the society that we're living in. And, you know, it's what G.K. Chesterton once said. He said, when man ceases to believe in God, it's not that he doesn't believe in anything. It's the fact that he is capable of believing anything. And that's so true.
Well, Daniel, this is why there has to be an intelligent engagement in the cultural war. Men like yourself and others who are out there battling these things, exposing these things, what there needs to be is a counterpunch, an intelligent counter engagement. And what I'm seeing and sensing is a database, you know, a pooling of things. You have CBN, you have TBN. Unfortunately, ministries like TBN and Daystar, two major television networks that spread the gospel around the world through so many different voices, really don't go down this path of discussion and engagement with these cultural problems. So there has to be a network. There has to be something that where men like yourself multiplied by 100 others that are out there that have this intelligence to expose these things and then to counterpunch with them. I think that's so important right now. We have a president, Donald Trump, who's battling with the big boys on the block. You know, there's a big fight going on in politics and in government. And as the church, we need to have messages like yours that are televised, that are in print, that are on the internet, that are getting just as much attention as that BBC praise for transgenderism. There needs to be a database, a pooling together of resources so that men like yourself can fight this thing and expose it for what it really is and talk about the left. And, you know, small little programs like these, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with small beginnings, but eventually there's got to be a more forceful base to, you know, to bring light while we have this moment of light. Because when the darkness comes, your message isn't going to matter anymore. When the darkness comes, nothing we're saying is going to matter anymore. So right now is that moment of light, right?
Yeah, you're spot on. Jesus said, work while you have daylight, because darkness is coming when no man can work. So the imperative really is on the Christian to do everything that they can that God has put in their heart to do. You know, all it is, it's just being faithful. Don't run after things that God has never called you to do. Just be faithful and do what God has asked you to do. Look what God has put in your hand, and whatever he's put in your hand, be faithful with it. Start working and start reaching out. Start getting bold. Start speaking up. Because that's really imperative at this particular time. So we have got a limited time. The devil is in a rage. He knows that his time is short. And as we can see, the polarization happening within our culture is just phenomenal. Like, the polarization has just grown further and further apart. And I don't believe there's any end in sight. I think it's going to lead up to something reminiscent of what we saw with the French Revolution. That might sound shocking to some people, but let's just, you know, let's be real here. I think this is definitely something that is that the heavenlies are, there are spiritual forces at work behind this. And so we need to be aware of that. So, yeah, we need to be working hard. We need to be focusing on what we can do for Jesus in these last times. And, you know, and God is good. He's faithful. You know, he won't put anything on us that we cannot bear. And everyone is different. Everyone has different gifts. But I believe that these are the times where we need to shine. We need to shine. As the darkness gets darker, because the light is living in us, we will shine more brighter the more darker it gets. That's for sure.
Amen. All right. So I want to shift just a little bit, and I know that you'll be able to engage this conversation, because I want to go to 2 Kings chapter 8. And I believe this is a prophetic word for the ecclesia, okay, for the people of God that are hearing this broadcast wherever. I believe this message will begin to resound through the prophets in the days ahead. And here it is, just six very simple verses, and then I want to speak into this. In 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 1, "Then spoke Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise and go thou and thine household and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn. For the Lord has called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years." All right, Daniel, I believe that there is a famine that is coming on the land. You're already witnessing it in Australia, but here's the good news. In verse 2, "The woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God. She went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines. She went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land." In other words, what she left behind, she's now going back. 7 years is up. "The king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, Tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha has done. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life. When the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, Restore all that was hers, all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now." So here is a hope, a promise of hope for God's people that there is restoration for the years. Going back to Joel's prophecy in chapter 2, he shall restore unto the years that the locust has eaten. So here is a ministry of restoration. But the interesting thing is that God spoke to his prophet Elisha, said that there is a famine coming on the land, and you're going to have to position yourself properly during that time of famine so that you'll be able to survive. Whereas many people are going to die, cattle is going to die, people are going to starve to death, it's going to be a severe famine. And that's kind of representative of what people call a seven-year tribulation period, a seven-year time of pressure. And so what I'm thinking, Daniel, and I do want you to speak into this, Patricia and I, in the 1990s, beginning in 1994, we traveled across the United States of America. We put a lot of miles on our RV, and through the grace of God, we started home fellowships from New Jersey to California. And what we did is everywhere we went, we visited churches, we visited people, and out of nowhere, without even trying, people would gather around us. We would have Bible studies. We would stay in our RV for weeks at a time, in some cases for months at a time. Houses were given to us to begin to teach the Bible and deliverance and prophetic things. And before we knew it, these gatherings were asking for leaders to start a church. So we would reach into the pool of the ministry we had in San Diego, and those people that served for a period of time as deacons, well, we raised them up. We appointed them to the church in New Jersey, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Jacksonville, Florida, Virginia Beach, Virginia. We just began to send couples to begin pastoring. And before you know it, we had churches across the United States, home fellowships. And once a year, we would gather together at Virginia Beach at the Founders Inn, CBN, Pat Robertson. and we would all meet together. We had celebrations that were crazy. It was wonderful. Well, then a drought set in, and we went through a period of transition. And right now, here we are, many years down the road, and I believe that God is saying that for people that have the revelation that you carry, that others have, the revelation of the times that we're living in, I believe God is calling the church back into homes, creating what I would call satellite churches or space stations. Daniel, yesterday we were talking about the Saturn V rocket, how it represented a people that are going beyond the veil of our own humanity, breaking free of the earth, the flesh, the world, demons, and getting into that area of space where we could, you know, do the Lord's work and explore the depths of the kingdom. And I believe God is about to call people out because a famine is coming to many of the churches who have ignored the issues that are going on, who have taught false doctrine, pre-trib rapture, et cetera, et cetera. And I believe famine's going to hit it. It may sound incredulous right now. How could famine hit the mega churches of America? You know, they're prospering. But I believe it's coming, and I believe God's calling his people out. I believe it's time for home fellowships, and that these will represent areas where God's people will have the ability to grow and prosper in the days ahead, even in the midst of famine. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I have to agree. You know, there are usually two phases that which God does to get a country's attention, a nation's attention. If a nation wanders away from the Lord, first, here comes the first phase, and the first phase is this, and that's drought. You know, in Israel, for all of God would have to do in Israel to do that would to send the strong eastern wind. Now, the eastern wind, excuse me, in Hebrew is called the Chamsin. It's called the Chamsin, and it's a very hot east wind that comes off the Arabian Peninsula and pretty much dries up everything that it touches. So God would send the Chamsin to come in and dry up all the crops and things like that. And that's all that God would have to do in order to get the people to cry out to him. You know, but if that doesn't work, if the people are still hardening their hearts, even in the midst of great drought, then he will raise up foreign armies, enemies, to come and attack them. You know, and that's always was a last resort. But Israel was a very stubborn people, just like we are. We can be very, very stubborn, you know. And God raises up enemies to do his work, to do his bidding. And in the same way that he rose up the Babylonians, you know, three times in the book of Jeremiah, God calls Jeremiah his servant. Nebuchadnezzar. He refers to Nebuchadnezzar as his servant, which I think is interesting. So God can raise up armies to do his bidding as, and, you know, as we read in the book of Judges, that when they were oppressed on every side, they cried out to the Lord. They cried out to the Lord, their God, when they were oppressed. So, yeah, I mean, this is where we're looking at the moment. In regard to the churches, you know, it's interesting, Pastor Vincent, because I saw an article on today that said, why are our churches turning to darkness? I thought, wow. Isn't that interesting to see a title like that? Why are our churches turning to darkness? I just thought, wow. I mean, we are really witnessing a phenomenon at the moment. And part of the reason is because there is so little solid teaching, so little biblical teaching, so little expository Bible teaching, you know. We have an epidemic of what I would say biblical illiteracy. And the danger of this with biblical illiteracy is that it opens the door to false teachers, because false teachers come in and say all these wonderful things, you know, and of course the congregation just laps it up. They don't even know any better, because they don't have the ability to discern. Because they haven't, they've been on the milk for so long that they don't even know what it's like to taste the meat. So it's interesting, you know. Like last week I saw a senior pastor from a church here in Australia. He almost became the state director of our movement. And I just noticed that he was approving over this particular video that he shared of this woman who was being fairly crass in the way that she was saying we need to be more inclusive of people. And he was thinking, oh, this is fantastic. I thought, my goodness, you know, like the fact that people are falling for this, they are taking on not only they're taking on the left's lies as well as the left's definition of words. And they are taking on board the left's buzzwords, including diversity and tolerance and inclusion and all these ridiculous buzzwords that the left have invented, have re-engineered. And so it's just really frightening where the church is at, Pastor Vincent. You know, the other statistic that I saw that really was scary last week, I saw that 70% of Christians, of American Christians, 70% of Christians are viewing pornography on a regular basis. You know, that really is no wonder the church is so ineffective at the moment. No wonder the church is so ineffective. And when the church is ineffective in its ability to be salt and light, I mean, what does salt and light do? Well, light exposes things. It exposes things. It reveals the true condition of people's hearts. That's what light does. What does salt do? Well, salt is a preservative. It prevents things from decaying. And that's a major concern because the church is the conscience of the nation. The church is the conscience. And if the church loses its voice, the world loses its conscience. And that's a major, major, major concern.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I want to go back to something you mentioned a few minutes ago. As you were talking, you said that the devil is in a rage because he knows he has a very short time. And you were actually quoting out of Revelation 12:12, where it literally says, "Rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath because he knows that he has but a short time." And what I find interesting about a statement like that, and I happen to believe it, and I think we're only seeing the four winds, if you will. I don't believe the storm of his presence has actually made landfall yet, but it's coming. And then the next verse is, "When the dragon saw that he was cast under the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child." So persecution will come. "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times," that's 3 years, "and a half a time," that's 3.5 years, "from the face of the serpent." And so in context of what you're saying, in the time of great persecution, the woman, whether that's Israel, whether that's the bride of Christ, whether it's both, whatever it is, it represents believers in Yeshua. There's to me, there's no doubt about that. And so there is a time when the God's call to come out of her, my people, and to go into the wilderness. I happen to believe that home fellowships are, you know, the representative of space stations, satellites, where God's people have gone beyond the reach, if you will, of the world, flesh, and devils, is a place where there will be a gathering, like a wilderness experience, and it's there that the saints who are coming out will be fed and cared for. And unfortunately, Daniel, it appears that many believers are caught in the snare of the world system right now, and many more will be caught in the days ahead through seduction and deception. And the cry of the Spirit, "Come out of her, my people," is growing louder and louder right now. So what I'm thinking, and to me, this is kind of a shift in our normal conversation, but, you know, with all the conversation and the declaration of the things that are going on in the battle, that cultural battle, eventually Bible prophecy tells that there will come a darkness, and at that time the people of God will come out. There will be a place in the wilderness to be fed, to be nourished. There will be places during that great persecution and tribulation. And I'm just wondering in my spirit, and I've seen this work before, that if God is not going to use homes to gather the few that have not been caught in the snare, that have obeyed the Spirit of God, who have come out from among them and have desired to live in that ascended life in the Spirit, where God will take care of them during this season of persecution. Eventually that has to come, and it sure does seem like we're getting closer and closer to that moment. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, Revelation 12 is a very interesting chapter because it's it begins with the pregnant woman and gives birth to a male child who was caught up to heaven, and he will rule the nations with an iron scepter, which is kind of like a little bit of a it kind of goes back in the time. But then after it gives birth to the child, it flees, you know, and the dragon is in pursuit. And this is kind of like zooming up to our time period. But I believe that the woman represents the remnant of Israel. This is the believers in Yeshua. And I believe this is indicative of the Messianic Jews who are living in Israel right now. And I believe we're going to see we're going to see the same thing happen, very similar to what happened to the early church in the lead up to AD 70. In AD 69, the leaders in the Church of Jerusalem received a vision, and that vision was to get out, to flee the city. So they did that. In fact, they did it immediately, because I remember what Jesus said to them. They said, "Do you not have enough time to go down and get your cloak? Get out of the city." And so they did that. They fled immediately, and they got out just in time as Titus's six legions were surrounding the city. And so they got out, and they fled across the Rift Valley, and they went 20 miles north to a place called Pella, and there they stayed while Jerusalem became under siege. And a year later, in AD 70, it fell. So I think we're going to see a very similar thing, Pastor Vincent, in regard to the Messianic believers in Israel now. I believe that when the hostile armies are coming to surround Jerusalem in the last days, God is going to tell the Messianic believers living in Jerusalem to get out of the city. And I believe they'll do the same thing. They'll flee and they'll go across the Rift Valley, but I don't believe they'll go north. I believe they'll go south. The reason why I say that is that I believe that they will go south down to the ancient land of Edom, into the place called Pella.
Petra.
Anyway, sorry? Yes, Petra, that's it. That's what I'm talking about. They'll head down south to Petra, as the ancient biblical name for it is Bozrah. So I believe that's where they will find refuge. And that's also the place where I believe where they will be rescued when the Lord comes back. Because in Isaiah, we see that who is this coming from Bozrah with his clothes stained red? So I believe that that's going to be the last stand where they will go, where it says in Revelation 12 that there is a place prepared for them in the desert, where God God will give them the wings of an eagle. Now, by the way, that wings of an eagle analogy actually comes from the Psalms, where it says that God gave the children of Israel the wings of an eagle in their flight out of Egypt. So I think we're going to, and what's interesting, right at the very end of that chapter is that it says that he could not get to the woman. He could not touch her. So he went after, what does it say? He went after the seed, his seed. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Which is us. So even though I think the remnant's going to be protected, I think it's the rest of us are going to have hell to pay. I think we're really going to go through the ringer. So I think, now, it's going to be very, very fluid. it's going to be very different for different people. Many of us will receive the martyr's crown, which will be an incredible honor. Many of us will be receive the martyr's crown. But then there will be others who will be kind of like, you know, like Corrie ten Boom, in the sense that they will be operating a safe house where they will be hiding people, whether they be Jews or whatever. But I believe that there will be people who will kind of be hiding people. Then, of course, here's the third category. There will be the people who are actually hiding, in fear, you know, hiding that they don't get caught. And then there's a fourth group of people, which I think are really interesting. And these are the people who are chased. They are persecuted out of their lands, and they inadvertently find themselves on the mission field, preaching the gospel to those who have never heard the gospel before. So I think the situation in the last days is going to be very fluid. I think in some areas it's going to be worse than it is than it will be in other areas. But it's going to be really exciting times, Pastor Vincent, really exciting times. You know, it's going to be brutal, absolutely brutal, but it's the church's finest hour. The church is going to shine.
Well, I believe that the church will go into a moment of eclipse, because in that great tribulation, right, I mean, the enemy is given power to overcome the saints for that period of time. And I was thinking about, and I'm glad you brought up Corrie ten Boom, because I was I remembered a story. I was told this years ago, and I believe if I do my research, I'll find confirmation to it, that when the Germans, when the Nazis were about to bring their conflagration against the Jewish population, if you will, that the Jews were being warned to leave, and some of them took heed to the warning, and they sold everything they had. They purchased diamonds. Mm. They sewed the diamonds in their clothes, and they got on ships or planes or however they could get out of that area, and they fled, and they were able to go to different places around the world. From what I'm told, they were actually denied asylum in America for a period of time, but I don't want to get into that yet. But a lot of those Jews remained. They did not heed the call to come out, and some of them made it at the last minute. They left with basically their clothes on their back, and they got out. And obviously, the rest did not make it out. They got caught in the snare. And we have the report that nearly 6 million Jewish people were killed in concentration camps and tortured in unspeakable ways. And so here we have a type and shadow of what the very end Great Tribulation would be. And God is, and this is to the Jew and the Gentile, the two becoming one. But yes, there's going to be a persecution against the Jew, the true Jew. And then, of course, everybody that wears the name of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, who has keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, they become the target. So we're moving into a time where it's not going to be popular to be, quote unquote, a Christian. It's not going to be popular to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we're living today because we've enjoyed so much liberty and freedom, and we don't realize that overnight could change, and how much information and data has been collected in this new age of technology, of people's radio ministries, their church pulpit ministries, their internet ministries. I mean, there's a gathering of information, kind of like the Gestapo, you know, but this Gestapo is digital. And there are so many people that have been known and recorded for their beliefs and their messages. I do believe a time of great persecution is coming, but I do believe that God is warning both that there will be a time to come out, be separate, says the Lord. Right?
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the Lord has already told me to get my passports ready.
And where are you going to go, my friend? Where are you going?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. You know, who knows? You know what's interesting too, Pastor Vincent, is that I was talking with my brother-in-law and my sister. God also laid on their hearts to get their passports ready. And not only them, but also my pastors. And these are conversations I just mentioned in passing, and I was like, oh my goodness, the Lord told you to get yours ready as well? So, wow. You know, it's interesting, very interesting.
Well, there's an ark over in Northwest Arkansas, brother. So you ought to think about that one and pray about that. You know, it's an amazing time, Daniel. It really is an amazing time. And you wonder how many of God's people that are going to church week after week, month after month, year after year, are really paying attention to a message like this. It just seems that so few are really hearing. And especially now that Donald Trump is president, it just seems like everything's moving in that direction of it's all getting better. I remain concerned about the doctrine of peace and safety. And I believe that we are a moment away, because I'm looking in my country, the raging wildfires in California, the floodings on the east. I'm watching, this diversity of this growing demonic influence through legislation of what is evil. And then you look at the other side. Well, there's going to be a new Supreme Court justice around the midterms, and that's going to, you know, the bench is going to be stacked. In spite of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, whatever the name is, it's such a whirling of events, and we keep our minds on the Word of God, and we have to find our center there. And what is the Word of God saying to us right now? What does the Bible's message, the living Word of God, that spiritual message, tell us? I mean, I'm encouraged about being an overcomer. I'm encouraged about the kingdom of God. I am encouraged about the advancement of a people into realms of glory that have not been hitherto entered into. I am excited about those things in my spiritual journey. But here on planet Earth, there seems to be a different reality going on. And how does one really differentiate the being set free to be able to move in the Spirit of God and then getting caught in the snare?
You know, Pastor Vincent, I've been thinking about this last week, and those who take a stand early on, the earliest on people take a stand and they refuse to compromise, it will be a lot easier for them as the days get more and more wicked and as we get closer and closer to taking the mark of the beast. It will be easier for the ones who have taken a stand right from the beginning and have refused to compromise. It will be harder for those who have compromised and just went gone with it. And have just, you know, compromise here, compromise there. Who cares? You know, I know that my bank is proudly supporting the LGBT, but yeah, who cares? Let's just go with it, you know. And so the more you see, the more compromise, the harder and harder it will be for them to get out. For the man who refuses to compromise and for the man who takes a stand, it'll be a lot easier for him to get out. He will be able to hear clearly the voice of God. He's been obedient, and he will be able to make a decision to save him and his family. But for those who are compromising and being very, very lax, I mean, they're going to find it very, very difficult. Some of them may get out, but it's going to be very difficult for them to do so.
Daniel, let me ask you this. Your ministry is about Israel, Islam, and the end times. I'm thinking two things. I just heard a report last night coming from Fox News, and it wasn't Brett Baer, but the other gentleman that he has a show that's been on forever. And they were talking about what the experts in geology are saying right now about a massive earthquake from the Quanta Fuca earthquake zone and the Cascadian earthquake zone. These are major earthquake fault lines on the West Coast that put San Andreas Fault to like a little baby, quite frankly. And they are warning that we're like 300 years overdue right now for a massive 9.2 earthquake. And what they're saying, and I'm not just talking about just Fox News, but many outlets of information are saying that they are expecting right now a 9.2 that will create and generate a massive tsunami on the west coast of the United States, that it would literally bounce this earthquake, that fault line going, would bounce to Japan and then back and create a 100-foot wave from all the way up in, beyond Oregon into Washington, Seattle area, all the way down into Southern California. Now, I have had a lot of opportunity to talk to people that have had visions and dreams. I've had one myself, and I told my wife last night, she said, aren't you interested in this report about a tsunami wave that will hit? And they're saying everything west of Interstate 5 would be wiped out. And Patricia said, well, aren't you interested because you had that dream? And I told her, I said, I did have a dream. It was a very vivid dream many years ago, and I could repeat it today like it was yesterday, of a massive wall of water coming, and it was just massive. And that it was I saw it about 300 miles out at sea, and then it was coming towards the West Coast, all the way from the Washington area down to San Diego. And I did have that dream. It was very real. And so now they're getting the reports of a massive earthquake. And I'm talking to people. We've all talked about the big one. It's been spoken about for a long time. Like we said, we're 300 years overdue. But that event, they're saying, would be worse than Katrina. And then on the Islamic side of things, how valid is it, Daniel, to consider – Johns Hopkins University just did a whole report on something called Clan X. It is a bacteria that they've manipulated from the SARS virus that would wipe out, listen to this, 900 million people if terrorists or rogues, cult-like, and they're talking about Islamic radical terrorists, got a hold of biological weapons. Do you believe that the Islamic radical terrorist faction that we heard existed, we kind of saw existed to some degree, that if they had their hands on a biological weapon such as this Clan X, that they would release it, whether it be anthrax or some other biological weapon, into major population areas where nearly a billion people could die from this? That is a biblical reality, isn't it?
I mean, if they could get their hands on it, I wouldn't doubt it for a second. You know what's more dangerous than radical Islam, and that's apocalyptic Islam. Because apocalyptic Islam believes that they can actually have Allah's blessing to cause warfare, bloodshed, and chaos to bring about their long-awaited Messiah, their Mahdi, as they call him. And they believe that they can actually bring about the conditions in which the Mahdi will appear, which I think is, my goodness, very sobering. But they believe that if they can cause war, bloodshed, and chaos, and by getting their hands on weapons of mass destruction, I mean, that would just be the perfect tool to be able to unleash that. And so they fully believe that they will go ahead and unleash all this chaos and carnage upon the world, and they believe that they're fully in the will of God to do so. So, yeah, very, very, very sobering.
So let's talk a little bit about what's going on in Iran right now. I mean, the last several months we saw a nuclear threat with North Korea was basically subdued, according to reports. Again, a peace and safety thing there. Now Iran is going through a revolution of sorts, and the United States is ready to deal with this. This was one of the four. When George Bush was the president, he talked about the four axes of evil, and North Korea and Iran are the last two. Now, Trump is dealing with North Korea. Now, it appears that he wants to talk with Iran. What do you see going on there?
Well, Iran, make no mistake, I mean, they are absolutely 100% determined to pursue nuclear weapons. You know, and this is why it was so ridiculous for the Obama's Iran deal, because Iran was absolutely hell-bent on developing these nuclear weapons anyway. And it was the Mossad, Israeli Mossad spies who actually broke into the warehouse where they smuggled out all this proof of what Iran was up to. And sure enough, they are absolutely committed to building nuclear weapons. So I believe that they will eventually build the weapons, and they will, again, have no hesitation in using them. Who will be their target? Well, you know, I believe, well, who knows? I mean, I'm going to go out on the limb here and say that they could quite possibly use their nuclear weapons against their two major enemies, and that's the United States and Israel. I do not believe that they could quite possibly drop one on northern Israel, but certainly not one anywhere near Jerusalem, because scripture is very clear that Jerusalem will be shielded. But where the scripture is clear that all the other cities will be reduced to rubble. So it could be a very well possibility that Iran could really be getting up to some very, very bad news and creating a lot of havoc in the future. And again, it all comes back to apocalyptic Islam. They believe they have the blessing of Allah to do this.
Okay, so yeah, that is the religious aspect. Now, Vice President Michael Pence is warning Russia about different things. What is it that you're aware of that's going on with Russia right now, China? Because don't Russia and China back Iran and North Korea to some degree? Isn't there a connection there?
Yeah, to some degree. China more so, Russia not so much. I think that with China, they're interesting. With Russia, I got my brain's a bit fuzzy. Russia is interesting. We're kind of seeing a little bit of a renaissance going on within Russia in regard to Christianity. In fact, Putin said recently that he wants to see less Marxism in Russia and more Christianity, which I think is something for him to say that, considering that he's an ex-KGB man. So I think we're going to see more Christianity popping up within Russia. But Russia, they're an interesting cat. I mean, they've got a lot of pro-Marxist elements still operating within them. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, especially when the baton is passed from leadership from Putin to the next leader. So that will be an interesting thing to watch. But with Russia, it's, watch this space, because it'll be very interesting to see what they do. I think, in the book of Daniel with the four visions, you and I kind of have different interpretations of this, but when it comes to the bear has a rib in its mouth, and a voice says to the bear, "Eat your fill of flesh." So I think the bear is pretty indisputably Russia, in a sense that the bear has always been a symbol of that country for a very, very, very long time. So, Russia, God could very well give Russia an opportunity to go to war, and to so we could see that happening. I mean, they could, who knows? You know, it's could they go to war against the United States? I don't know. I don't believe so. And part of the reason why I don't believe so is because I believe that the United States is part of the prostitute, and it's the beast that destroys the prostitute. Remember, it says that that the beast will eat her flesh, bring her to her ruin, and burn her with fire. I don't believe that's Russia. I believe that the beast is referring to Islam, and I believe that very much lines up with Iran. I believe that Iran could very much play a role in that. So that's where my thoughts are in regard to that.
Yeah, and so Iran, they were the ancient, Medo-Persian Empire, the bear.
Elam, Media, yep.
Yeah. So that was, a connection there. So, again, a great chessboard, lots of different pieces, lots of different movements. I want to ask you one final question before we get going here today. What would your final thoughts, your instructions, be to the Christian or the believers in Jesus Christ that are listening to this broadcast right now, or will be doing so by archive? What should every, and I'm talking about children, I'm talking about housewives, I'm talking about men that go to work every day who are believers, what should every person be doing right now, in your understanding, as we approach these times and are actually living within these times? What should each person be doing to prepare themselves?
Well, I think they need to be preparing. I think they need to be preparing for what's coming down the pike. I think they need to be, they need to resolve that suffering is going to be an inevitability. It's not if, it's when. So I think we need to prepare for suffering. We need to prepare for persecution. And, you know, it's interesting. A Tasmanian pastor down here, Pastor Vincent, just wrote a very good article on where he said, it was actually to do with the Gospel Coalition, and he said, pastors, it's time to prepare your church for suffering. And I thought, wow, that's a very timely message.
You're going to have a small church. You're going to have a really small church if you do that.
Yeah, that's right. Because, and this is the thing, Pastor Vincent, this is the wise virgins in Matthew 25. The foolish virgins didn't believe that the night was going to be long. In fact, they didn't even believe that they would even go through the night, you know. But the wise wives were the ones who prepared adequately. They knew that the night was going to be long. So they prepared accordingly. So we need to prepare ourselves for what's coming down the pike. It's suffering is not if, it's when. And if you've been living under a rock, I mean, you just have to see what's going on in the news to see just how volatile culture is becoming. Our society is becoming extremely volatile. And we could see another French Revolution happening very soon. So I would be very prayerful, stay in prayer, stay with the Lord, you know, and again, the safest place to be is to be in the will of God. But here's the other thing too, you know, we need to understand, especially coming up into these last days, that it's going to get much, 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 much worse before it gets better. It's going to get much, much, much worse before it gets better. But you know what? Jesus also had that mindset. When he was on the cross, you know, remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was crying out to his Father and he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. He stood on the brink of oblivion, understood the full gravity of what he was getting himself into. I mean, no wonder he sweat drops of blood. And then he, you know, we see that scripture in Hebrews, where it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Hallelujah. You know, for every single one of us Christians, we will also be drinking from the same cup of suffering. What did Paul say? He said that I might know Christ, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. We are going to experience the fellowship of his sufferings. You know, but let me put it in the same way that it was put in the verse in Hebrews. Will it be for the joy that's set before us? Because it should be. This suffering that's going to be coming upon the earth, that the church is not going to be able to escape. Our attitude should be, for the joy set before us, we endured the great tribulation. For the joy. What is the joy that is set before us? Life ever after with Jesus. Hallelujah. Where everlasting joy will crown our heads. Hallelujah. That's the joy that is set before us. Will we be able to endure? I hope so. I hope so. Seven times in the book of Revelation, Jesus says, To him who overcomes, I will give this. To him who overcomes, I will give that. To him who overcomes, I will give this. Jesus is looking for a bride who's going to be overcoming. And I believe that adequately sums up what I was going to say.
I think that's a great answer. On tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to talk about a near-death experience that has transforming power. And to prepare someone to suffer, to prepare your church to die. There's a movie that was out called Silence, and it was about the priests that were going to evangelize and to be missionaries over in Japan. It was the hardest ground ever, and the suffering, and you saw the individuals willing to lay their lives down and suffer the death for the cause of Christ. Not an easy thing to do, but it's something that has to be talked about. I'm so glad that you brought that up, Brother Daniel. Get some sleep. Get that head cleared out, young man, and God bless you and your ministry. And ladies and gentlemen, we have just simply run out of time here today. God bless you, Daniel. We'll talk again next week or sooner. And ladies and gentlemen, that's all we have time for today. Tomorrow we'll be back on the air, Lord willing. Got lots to share, lots to talk about. As always, it's been good being with everyone today. Patricia Joy Xavier will not be broadcasting on the Blog Talk Radio. She will be on the Omega Radio Network today. And so God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Man, lots to think about. Lots to think about. Shalom, everybody. We're leaving you with Chris Tomlin, Resurrection Power.
You called me from the grave by name. You called me out of all my shame. I see the old is passed away. The new has come. Now I have resurrection power. Living on the inside, Jesus. You have given us freedom. No longer bow my sin in darkness. Living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom.